Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leenie Heisen. This is episode 64, and it is maybe one of the funnest we've ever done. Today's guest is the incredible Priscilla Schreier. You may have done her Bible studies like Armor of God, or read her books like Fervent, or watched her play life-changing roles in movies like War Room. What a gift and honor to welcome her to Moms in Prayer. I'd originally planned to talk to Alex Kendrick about their new movie, Overcomer, coming out on August 23rd. That's this Friday. And soon Stephen popped in because he couldn't help himself. Those guys love Moms in Prayer. And when I asked if I could talk to Priscilla, they said yes! I know you are going to love getting to hear from Priscilla about her new project, her mothering journey, and her prayer life. It's so fun. You can find today's show notes, ways to connect online with Priscilla, her new book, and more about the movie Overcomer on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Also, thank you so much for your giving last week and your partnership in furthering the vision of Moms in Prayer. We love you. Now, let's welcome Priscilla Schreier to our show. Well, Miss Priscilla, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be able to talk with you.
Well, we love having you here, love and appreciate your ministry so much. I know that we're good friends with the Kendrick brothers. They are friends of our ministry through the War Room movie. That's how we got to know you. And now we're here to talk about Overcomer. So I'm so thrilled to have you here as a mom, as a woman of prayer too. Priscilla, has prayer always been your thing, or is this something that you've grown in over the years?
Well, both of those. Prayer has been a thing for me. I have always believed in the power of prayer. I've always believed that it is the key that God really has given us to be able to access all that he wants to do with us. It doesn't manipulate him. It just accesses everything he wanted to do for us anyway. So I have believed in prayer. I grew up in a praying home. So it's something I've believed in, but it is also something that I continue to grow in. I don't know anybody who ever arrives at a place of, you know, success in terms of their prayer life. It's a constant area where God continues to call us and woo us and encourage us to be in relationship with him. So it sort of morphs from one season to the next. What War Room did for me, that film was reminding me about the strategy in prayer, that we don't need to be haphazard with it. We need to see what promises from God's word apply to what we're facing and then use God's own words in prayer. So that's what I have done, and probably a layer that's been added to my prayer life in recent years because of the film is praying specifically and being on target about what I'm asking God in regards to each of my sons, which means it's going to be different depending upon the personality and the struggles of that son. So just being real targeted and specific. So I'm grateful that God continues to teach us more and more about what it means to commune with him in prayer.
Oh man, isn't that the truth? Well, you're on to the next movie project. And I'm wondering if you could recap just the themes that you're going to be covering in Overcomer and what we should expect.
Absolutely. First of all, let me just say, I can't believe that I'm in another movie. I mean, I have to tell you that after War Room, I thought, well, that was a nice fluke. Thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of that, because that to me was like, you got to be kidding me. I can't believe the Lord would allow me the privilege of being a part of this in a field that's not my field. I've never been trained as an actress. And so then when the Irwin brothers called and asked if I'd participate in I Can Only Imagine, which came out last year, I was like, are you for real? Okay. And then now the Kendrick brothers, including me in Overcomer, I just can't believe that the Lord lets me participate in ministry in this way, but I'm so grateful because they're telling us such incredible stories and not only entertaining us, but they are changing our lives. And Overcomer is going to be no different. The premise of, or the major overarching theme of the film is identity. It's where do you find your significance? Is it rooted in something that can change? Because if it is, then you're going to be in trouble. If your identity and your value and your sense of significance, man, if it's tied to something external like our job or success or the lack thereof, or the applause of people or the lack thereof. Man, our beauty, which fades and goes away, if our identity is illegitimately attached to those things, then most of the time we don't recognize it until those things are stripped away. And that's what the story really is about. It's about where you see several people's lives begin to intertwine together, but these people individually have something pulled away from them that when it is, the devastation they face, what it does is show them that their identity was all wrapped up in that thing. And then it draws each of them to remember that all of our significance really has to be tied to eternal things. And that is who God says we are. And so Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 is the premise of the movie. And that is, he has called us chosen and adopted and forgiven and filled with grace and hope. And if I believe that, that means that I no longer make choices based on the way I feel, which sometimes might be afraid and insecure, but I don't make choices and choose relationships based on the way I feel. I make those choices and decisions based on the truth of who God says I am. Chosen, loved, I am enough.
Well, I know as a mom, this has probably prompted you to pray some different kinds of prayers for your boys in light of what you've been exploring. Can you tell me about that? Like, what's changed? How are you praying for your boys as they draw their identity from Christ?
Yeah. You know, they're in this, my oldest two are teenagers now. Help me, Jesus. I'm raising these teenagers. And then my youngest one is 10. So he's getting ready to be 11. So he's on his way into those years as well. And you're right. The prayers for our children change in different seasons of life. And right now, my prayer for them is that they will recognize how valuable they already are as they stand. In other words, of course, there's maturing and growth that needs to happen, but they don't have to be included in a certain group of people or succumb to certain pressures or be applauded by folks or have a bunch of likes on Instagram. You know, that they don't need that in order to know that they are enough as they are. I also pray for them in terms of, and I've got boys, so I think this prayer, a lot of people think about it in regards to girls, and it is necessary, but it is with boys too, that I'm praying that the Lord will help them to appreciate even their physical uniquenesses and in their personality, their weaknesses, the things that they would consider liabilities. I'm asking that God would help them to see that their weaknesses are actually platforms for his strength. So they need to celebrate their weaknesses, not try to change them, not try to ignore them or not be devastated by them, but that they would recognize them as opportunities to see God's grace demonstrated in their life and then through their life. And then in their physicality, I'm asking God to make them okay the way he made them. Mm. Like to not feel like they've got to look like somebody else, or they have to be the skin color of someone else, or that their hair texture, I wish it was a different hair texture. I'm asking God to make them okay with the skin he put them in and the body shape he gave them, because those sorts of struggles aren't just true for young women and older women. We go through that too, but they're also true for young boys and older men who sometimes also get caught up in their physicality, needing to look a certain way in order to be valuable or significant. I'm praying that over my boys right now, particularly in these teenage years.
And I know that you've written a book to go alongside Overcomer, which is Radiant, right?
Yes. And you know what? I just got like the first copy.
Yay. Isn't that the funnest?
It's like every time I get a copy, the first copy of a book, I'm like, it's a miracle.
Look what God did. Oh, that's
look what he did. It's like having a baby. You're excited. And then there's a little bit of postpartum. Like, is this it?
Yeah. How can that much work only be this big? Isn't that so funny? Right. Yes.
That's right.
Okay. But this is a new demographic for you, because you're talking to teen girls in Radiant, right?
Yes. The focus is, because the main character in the film is a 15-year-old girl, the Kendrick brothers really wanted someone that age could, if they walked out of the theater and wanted to explore this further, something they could put their hands on. Mm. The problem for me was that the topic of identity is not just for a young woman.
Right.
So, and it's such a big theme. So I did try to write it in a way that if a 15 or 18 or 20-year-old picked it up, it would be something they would want to read. So it's got a lot of stories in it from my upbringing, from my life, what I remember being in my early 20s, and funny things and heartbreaking things that happened to me in my teenage years. I've woven that all throughout so that it would capture the attention of a younger reader. But the themes that are here are for all of us. So I worked really hard to get them to make sure the tagline didn't just say for teen girls. I said, we have to add for young women. Mm. And the reason why, because a 19-year-old, once she sees teen girls on that, she automatically thinks that's for her younger sister. Yeah, that's not for her anymore. And I said, no, 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 this is for the 20-year-old, even the 30-year-old or more that really wants to just be reminded about what it means to celebrate your uniqueness, that you're made in the image of God, what that means, and what it means to live out of a place that is rooted firmly in our identity as Christ followers.
Mm, so good. I heard from, I think, Stephen, that you have the opportunity to clearly share the gospel in the middle of this film.
Yes, that's probably my favorite part of the film. I remember that was actually the first scene that I filmed in the movie, was this scene where with a young lady, the main character, I have an opportunity to sit with her on a school campus, by the way, which I should add, which I think is one of the undercurrent themes of the film, is that even when you're in your professional life doing your professional things, that we should always be prayerful and mindful when we're having a conversation with our coworker or with a student at the school, asking God, is there an opportunity here to have my eyes open to a spiritual dynamic that's at work in this conversation that's beyond what she's saying to me right now? And that's what Olivia Brooks, my character, who's the principal at the school, that's what she does. And the conversation morphs organically to spiritual things till Olivia finally just asks her, do you know Jesus? Do you know that your value and your worth is in your relationship with him? So if you don't have that relationship, we can't even start to have the conversation that we need to have about your identity. And then there was a scripted way for me to lead Hannah into a relationship with Jesus, a scripted prayer. And we did it that way a couple of times. But then Alex, who was directing us, said, now, Priscilla, would you just lead Hannah to the Lord as Priscilla would if she were sitting here? And that's the prayer that I prayed. And that's the prayer that they ended up using in the final cut. So our hope is that that prayer, which the young woman in the film repeats after me, that there will be people in theaters all over the world who hear that prayer and repeat those words, or watches the DVD later and writes those words down as a guide that they can use to help them themselves come into relationship with the Lord, and then to help them lead other people to the Lord as well.
That's our prayer too. At Moms in Prayer, our mission is to impact children in schools worldwide by gathering mothers to pray together. And so, Priscilla, give me just a couple things as we wrap up our time together that you want us specifically as a group of, well, real praying women to pray as we get ready to launch this film into the world.
Yes, I would ask you to pray that there would be a whole slew of young people that would flood the theaters to see this particular movie. Again, I think that, you know, there were obviously lots of them that came out to see War Room and came to see I Can Only Imagine, which the Irwin Brothers gave us last year. So faith-based films have a new fresh wind and a fresh fire about them in this day and age that they didn't 10 years ago. We would have been kind of embarrassed to see a faith-based film 10 years ago. And so now the technical excellence is there to draw even a new millennial audience in. And I'm praying that since the main character is a young woman, a teenage girl in a regular high school situation, I'm praying that young people will come in a way they may not have before. And that when they sit in those seats, that their eyes and ears are open to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell them. Because we're in a day and age where we've got an identity crisis. That's the prayer. We're in an identity crisis. We're redefining genders and redefining marriage and redefining family and redefining everything because nobody knows who they are in Christ. And it sounds like an ethereal topic, but no, like it's for real. If you believe you're chosen, if you believe that he created you on purpose in his image, when you believe that, your whole life changes. You make decisions based from that truth. So if we can get young people at this tender age to flood the theater, to get the message of the movie, whether they got it fully on screen or they pick up a resource like this after they leave the theater, if we can get them to really grab hold of it, then man, we can have a generation of people whose lives are changed right at the outset as they're going into adulthood.
Friend, it's been so good having you here, and we will be praying. But would you, real quick, as we wrap up, would you pray for us? I can't let you go without our listeners getting to pray with Priscilla Shire. That would be like the highlight of the world. Can we pray together? That would be great.
I would love it. And if this phone buzzes or beeps while we're on
that
the call,
that is reality right there, isn't it? That is the absolute reality of our lives.
I'm surprised none of my kids have come running through the door since we've been on the call. So anyway,
me too.
Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to talk to you in prayer. Lord, I ask you right now in Jesus' name for every listener, every watcher right now, that you would put a hedge of protection around their families, around their children, around their marriages, around them, our own peace of mind and heart. We surrender it to you and ask you to put a wall of fire around us. Protect us from the advances of the enemy, Lord. I pray that you would help us to gird ourselves in spiritual armor so that we are protected against the schemes of the enemy. Help us, Lord, to pray in a way that is fervent and passionate so that we can see your will be done in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so we pray, Father, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, both now and forevermore, through every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Priscilla, for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Isn't God bright through Priscilla Schreier? Let's rally behind our friends who are being faithful to pray and take big steps for the Lord. Overcomer comes out this Friday, August 23rd. Let's show up in force and pray that the Lord helps our kids and our friends own their identity as children of God, and for our unbelieving friends to join Priscilla in that salvation prayer. Before I let you go, would you consider doing at least one of the following three things? First, jump on our website and join a Moms in Prayer group if you aren't a part of one. Today is the day in joining us in fighting for the next generation in prayer. Two, share this episode with a friend right now. You can do that on social media or through your app that you're listening to this podcast on. It's easy to click share and send it in a text to a friend who may not be involved with Moms in Prayer. And three, can you give? It's easy to give to the life-changing ministry of Moms in Prayer, and it makes an incredible difference. You can jump on the website at momsinprayer.org or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. Moms are making the difference. Moms just like you. See you next week.